here we are tonight. We're looking at Acts 24. We're going through Paul's testimony. Does ours have to match his? No. However, a lot of it's there. And we look at Felix this morning. You know, Paul talked to him about righteousness and judgment and temperance. And Felix trembled. I still believe, as you'll see tonight, that the reason he wouldn't give in to this thing was because Drusilla was there. Corella DeVille, whatever, you know. And I did some reading about this stuff, and these ladies are all related. Drusilla and Bernice and Agrippa and Felix, all these guys. It's one big happy incestual family. So it's a mess. So when Paul says what he says about righteousness and judgment, no wonder Felix would get all trembling and wouldn't dare go along with it, because Corella DeVille there, making sure he doesn't get into this stuff, because she's in big trouble too. So now we get into Festus, and Bernice is actually Agrippa's wife, and Agrippa's related to them. So Bernice is Corella DeVille's sister and mess around with Agrippa. So it's all family stuff. It's all an inside job. It's just ridiculous. So there, and that's why he mentions all that stuff. You go back to the Old Testament and you read some of this stuff, then you've got to get into history books, and who knows? Oh, these yaws. Who knows about all these kings and wives and relatives and stuff like that? They're there and you know, whatever. It's interesting that he mentions Drusilla and Bernice, though, and they both, Agrippa says, almost became a Christian. I almost, you know, well, I think I know why he almost did, and he knows better, but he wouldn't dare. She was with him. I really believe that, because I've seen that so many times. And when one person of the marriage gets a hold of Paul and the other one doesn't, it's going to create huge problems. Some of it's because the one who gets a hold of the Paul thing starts to do the Paul thing, like a Ruckman guy or some Baptist thing, and starts really pushing it hard. And you can't push it on people. I've learned from a long time ago, if they don't see that there's a problem within the church or a conflict or a contradiction among the preaching and the reading and all that kind of stuff, they're not going to understand why Paul teaches what he teaches. But anyway, whatever. We've said that 1,000 times. This begins tonight. So really, this is about Festus and Agrippa. This is about both of them by the time this thing ends up here. So we got Felix. We talked about this in an early sermon this morning. And let's look at Festus tonight. Acts 24. Let's finish up Acts 24. These guys have some similarities, though. Because in Acts 24, it says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus, and this is not Festus from Gunsmoke for you old folks out there. This is Porcius. Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul bound. And we left this off. Here's Felix, who really doesn't think Paul did anything wrong. And Felix has heard about faith in Christ. We talked about that. And he's heard all this stuff. And he hangs on to Paul for a while. Says, we'll talk it again at a convenient time, at a more convenient season. He says, at a convenient season. When is that? When your wife is gone, Felix. I understand that. And he just hoped that money would come in because of Paul. Make some money off of this guy. Well, he waited 2 years, and the convenient season never rolled around. Festus comes in. And Felix, like I said, doesn't think Paul's all that bad of a guy, keeps him bound, keeps him tied up to show the Jews a pleasure. And isn't that like your friends? You're talking to one of the guys, one of the people, you know, that's interested in this stuff, and they're listening to you a little bit. But when his buddies or her buddyettes are there, and or if you're in the church or whatever, to show everybody else their pleasure, he'll mock you. Or they'll challenge you, or they'll ignore you, or they'll criticize you. They'll say something, they'll do something. Keeps you bound, not physically, of course, but locks you up, ignores you, makes that kind of a scene with you. Why? Because it gives his friends pleasure. It's that peer pressure thing. Remember when Jesus was those Pharisees, I think it was, or somebody, and they all left him, and this one guy hung around and said, Jesus, you know, asked him this question. And waited for the group to leave. We all know that none of us behave properly when we're in a group. The peer pressure that's there. Well, the same thing here. Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul bound. Well, Festus does the same thing later on, as you'll see coming up here. So let's read about this Festus thing now. Chapter 25, there's a conspiracy against Paul. It keeps going, you know, and Festus has his 2 cents, and he hears the complaints too. Paul says he's innocent. We'll read about that. And in 9, Festus, willing to do the Jews of pleasure, you know, kind of stuff. It's there. Paul's got a big response here. Then King Agrippa shows up here. King Agrippa. But anyway, let's go. Chapter 25, verse 1. Here we go. I lost those two guys pretty quick. Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. See, everybody just against this guy. Just against Paul. And desired favor against him. Oh. That he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait to kill him. So these guys, yeah, let's send this guy up to Jerusalem, you know, so we can kill him on the way. You know, yeah, come over to my house. I got the pastor there. I got my Tertullus there. I got my pastor there. I got, you know, we'll take care of you. And on the way, we'll find something that he did wrong down at the store or something. They're looking for things. Conspiracy to show this stuff about Paul is a joke. And desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, there we go, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Oh, so Festus is going to go. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Okay. These guys keep passing the buck, and nobody keeps coming up with stuff. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, 10 days he waited, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Like that, 10 days. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. You know, is there a... Where's this? I'm looking for a word in here. I'll see it in a minute here. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. I mean, he doesn't blame anybody. Unfortunately, we can't say that. We have said some things to some people that it gets around, and our testimony's blown by our lifestyle. Something, you know, something's there. But Festus, here it is, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, which he heard earlier, get him to go up to Jerusalem, we'll kill him on the way. So, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? He already knows what those guys said could not be proven. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. There it is, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, then no man may deliver me into them, I appeal unto Caesar. Okay, Festus wants to deal with Paul. Paul says, you know, we're wasting our time here. I need to talk to Caesar. You guys have nothing against me, and as thou knowest, he says. Why did he say that thing? He says, as thou very well knowest. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, you know, committees, you know, these guys can't make up their own mind. Pilate, what do you think, people? How do you vote? Festus, I better go talk to the council. Answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. Okay, do a little reading here. Bernice and Agrippa, no way they should be married. It's the second marriage for her, second marriage for Drusilla. They're related here, they're sisters. Agrippa is Felix and Drusilla's son. It's just a mess. It's a huge mess. And when there had, but But this Bernice still has an effect here. And when they had been many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, again, after many days. The other one was 10 days. The other one was 2 years. This guy's waste, Paul's just wasting a lot of his time. But he has to do it. Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, verse 14, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. So Festus knew the law. So that's good. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, finally, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. There we go. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed. They had nothing to say. You know, it's like when somebody says, well, there's a lot of people that don't like what you're saying. Got a lot of people. Who are all the people? Well, the people have been talking. Well, who are these people? Well, it's really just three of them. Oh, there were three standing there. Which one did the talking? Okay, so there's maybe two of them that aren't happy, or maybe one of them is unhappy with you. Okay, go get them. Bring them in here. Well, no, we're fine. We're fine. I've heard that so many times back in those days, and still to these days, somebody says, well, you know, the whole community didn't like what you did. Oh, yeah? I've managed to talk to some people who did. Or whatever. You know, it's just always this word many. Everybody. They. Who's they? Well, the church family doesn't like, well, who's the church family? Oh, you mean just him and her? All that kind of stuff. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition. In other words, they thought he said what he didn't say. It's their own superstition. It's their own thinking. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, did you do well? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say it that way. I didn't mean it that way. It wasn't put forth that way. Where'd you hear that? This is what you think. This is what you think I mean by Paul. So when you get saved, you can do anything you want. Not as a license. I mean, they're coming up with their own accusations, but through their own superstitions. And of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Well, come on, people. Everybody in the Christian world thinks that Jesus rose again from the dead. So doesn't that mean he's alive today? Well, sure it would. Does it take Paul to teach you that? No. Gospel says that he died and rose again. Okay, but what does Paul teach? Oh, that's right. Paul teaches what he taught after he rose again. Oh, yeah. You would think it would be that simple to get. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, this is Festus again, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. Okay. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. So this Agrippa guy wants to hear what Paul has to say. It's none of his business. This is not his jurisdiction as such. He's just, I want to hear this stuff. I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Okay. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, here comes this lady, with great pomp. Big show. You know, it's like, oh, I can just see, you know, oh, what is she doing here? Or what does she want with all this pizzazz? Even Agrippa was probably going, you know, Bernice, you didn't have to come in like this. This is totally, but he wouldn't dare say that, you know. And was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. A lot of people there. Big muckety mucks. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me. Right, there it is again. Multitude of the Jews. That's what I was looking for there. How many is the multitude? How many is well, they aren't. They don't believe what you say. They don't like how you're preaching. Who? Or everyone thinks that you're not. You're too negative. You're too whatever. You know. Like, who are this? Who's this negative? Possibly, maybe just you, but you hide behind everybody else. Here's Festus. Multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. Okay, now here's a big verse, 25. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, well, he should be innocent. He should be free. Anyway, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. So he doesn't know what to complain about Paul, but if we listen to him, I'll find something. You know, go ahead and teach me about Paul, somebody says, but they're supposedly listening to you, you know they're not. They're looking for something they can bite you back with. Or somebody writes you a letter, an email, and you respond to that email, and they write back and they say something that they didn't even read your answer. It's that whole series on that we just completed here a while ago on Gainsayer. I know if that guy ever listens to all those, that must be 15, 20 sermons on that thing, he's going to come back with another question. He's not listening. He's not hearing his answers. He just keeps asking these questions. So if he keeps listening, he'll find some more questions to ask, even though his questions are always being answered. Same thing. 26, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. I got nothing I can tell you, Agrippa, because nothing's wrong. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have for someone to write. Maybe I can find something yet when I listen to this guy. For it seemeth to me to be unreasonable, to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Right, Paul's going before King Agrippa here with no crimes, no accusations, nothing being made, because they're all innocent. And it's not even before the guy he's supposed to be before. He wants to go see Caesar. Caesar get him off the hook. Okay, so now we get into Agrippa a little bit. Festus will show up at the end here. And we're going to recognize we have Festuses in our lives too. Festus, a fester. Anyway, a little bit of stuff with Agrippa here though. Chapter 26. Let's see, I get this thing right here. Chapter 26, yep. Festus's speech. Agrippa's wife, Bernice, it's not Festus's wife, King wants to hear. Okay, 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself. I like this. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Then he goes on and he gives his testimony again. And this is a fantastic testimony, and true to what this whole series is supposed to be about. Do we match any of this? Well, he says here, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation, Jerusalem, known of all the Jews, is like, you know, Paul, Jesus even said, man hath no honor, prophet hath no honor in his own country. Paul knows that these people know him. And verse 6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. The very same thing those people wanted, Paul's preaching, now they're mad at him. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, there's the book of James, instantly serving God one day and night, God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Sure, we can tell people Romans 12:11-22. We can tell them about Thessalonians. We can tell them about Corinthians. We can tell them about the doctrinal stuff. And these people believe in the rapture and all that kind of stuff. We present the same thing. But it's the way of God. It's the way of God more perfectly. So they get mad. And Paul's saying the same thing. You guys want to know about a risen, about the whole promise made of God and to our fathers? Well, yeah, I'm here to show you what this hope is. And he's in trouble for it. Same thing. You would think somebody would like to know not only the fact that they're saved, but how they got saved, what took place when they got saved, and because of what you know about the foundation of salvation, you know how you can't lose your salvation. But they don't want to hear that. But that's Paul. This is the way of God more perfectly. You can learn more about your salvation other than you're just born again, which doesn't even say anything. It's the nation of Israel, Genesis 11 and 12, that was born. Now they need to be born again when Messiah is there for them. But they wouldn't do it. Anyway, you go through this thing, you know, and Paul talks about being in the synagogue and talking to these people. He talks about this ministry that Jesus shows to him. Verse 16. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Okay, so we know that's from Paul. From Jesus to Paul. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Because he had to be taken out of them in order to go back and preach to them. I've realized a long time ago that a pastor cannot have friends because he has to preach to them too. So he has to stay out of the whole scene and preach what he has to preach. And that's pretty tough in a church nowadays. And here's his ministry, to open their eyes and to turn them, who's Gentiles, from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Not the power of God, but the power of Satan unto God. See, people think as Christians that we get the power of God to fix our lives. Well, yeah, right. That's not true at all. That they may receive forgiveness of sins, not remission. And inheritance among them, which is, that's the whole mystery right there, this inheritance thing. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Was that faith in Paul? No, it is a certain faith that is in Paul. Is it Paul's faith? No, this is a faith that is in Paul. So it would be the faith of Jesus Christ. So the faith of Jesus Christ is in Paul. So we are forgiven and inheritance among them which are sanctified by that faith of Jesus. Not my faith. His faith. Remember, this is King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So he goes out and he talks. He says, in the Jews, 21, the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. We get our help in verse 22. We get our help from God in our Bible. That's where our help's got to come from. And he keeps doing it, keeps talking about it, that Christ should suffer, should be the first that should rise from the dead. Can you imagine these people rise from the dead? Are you kidding? Who can do that? And then, here we go. This will make it a little shorter. 24. Here's our Festus guy steps up to the plate. You know, Agrippa's been hearing all this stuff, watching all this stuff, and Paul's got a good testimony there. You know, not a problem. And Festus, with a loud voice, typical. Ever anybody ask you a question? Hey, Bill, does that mean you can go downtown and rob a bank and kill people? Har, 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 har. You know? Ah. Loud people. Whatever. And as he thus spake for himself, let's see here. Yeah, and as he thus spake for himself, interrupting everything, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know, do we have anybody that looks at us and says, you guys are just nutcases. You're fruitcakes. You're nuts. This can't be what you're talking about. Of course Jesus is going to chastise. Why would he chastise us if that's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about? And this thing about no law, no transgression, and all that kind of stuff. And he says, much learning doth make thee mad. So you're saying that because I've been reading my Bible and studying this thing, I'm nuts, right? Well, have you studied the Bible? Well, no. Well, how do you know what I'm saying is wrong? Have you studied the Bible? Yes. Do you see it in there? Yeah, I do. But where does it say Paul? Let me show you. Your modern Bible. My Bible doesn't say rightly divide. Well, sorry, this has said rightly divide for 400 years. And they think we're mad. Much learning. Should be the other way around. You're coming up with this stuff on your own, Paul. And where did Paul get this from? Galatians 1, he got it from revelation from Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And just as he says down here in verse 16. And are those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Christ is going to show him. Talk to him. can hear the sound of his voice. I think it was one of the things Ananias said. Okay, so he thinks Paul's nuts. And this is what I say. We have people out there that are Festuses to us. They think we're nuts. Show them the Bible. You know what? It doesn't matter anymore, does it? It doesn't matter that you know what you know, and you can show them the scriptures, and you flip them page to page and page, and you get your notes, and they look at that and go, man, you're just nutting your fruitcake. How can you believe something like that? Well, it's in your Bible. Don't you have a King James Bible? Yeah, I do have a King James Bible. Okay. Don't you ever read your King James Bible? I read it all the time. I've been through this thing 53 times. Well, you have. And you can't recognize the fact that Paul's teaching something different than what your pastor's teaching? Can you see that, you know, he may be a good King James guy, but he's not preaching Paul. And the list goes on. Because Paul says, Festus, you know, most noble Festus, he says. That's polite, respectful. He didn't fly off the collar like so many of us do. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. Ah, this is how his speaking skills draws the king into this thing. That's a pretty good step here. For the king knoweth of these things. You know, you're with somebody who knows the Paul thing, and maybe you're one of the new ones, some of you folks out there in the web world or whatever, and you're with somebody and says, well, here, look at what Johnny here. He brings you into the conversation. Oh, no, leave me out of this, leave me out of this. Remember the fair booth all the time. Some of these guys wouldn't come because they're just afraid to come. They came up with excuses. Well, they didn't want to come. Network excuses? Nah. They were just afraid to come. Because when they did finally come to the fair in the evenings, they still shied away from the booth. That's funny. It's hard stuff. Bob, are you there? Yeah, Bob. You came along so far in your witness just by coming to that booth and handing people tracts and talking to them. That was really good. It was good for your son to see that and the whole thing. Some of those guys just wouldn't come by there in a million years. Anyway, 26. And for the king knoweth of these things, so he brings the king in, before whom also I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. So, for this thing was not done in a corner. So this Paul stuff is not a secret. It isn't just my little stuff here in Kadoka, Tushy, Ohio. There's other pastors, there's other websites, there's other people that preach the Paul thing. So there's no, I'm not secretly telling people, hey, come here. I pick you out of a crowd. Let me tell you something about Paul. No, everybody's welcome to hear about it, but nobody wants it anymore. And then here's the question. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Because he showed the prophets what they said about this coming Jesus. I know that thou believest. Oh, so he's a believer? No. Because it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded, kind of a thing. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Yet he believes what these guys said. And Paul said, here's Paul. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he not appealed unto Caesar. A little stab, little shot right there, you know. He'd be off the hook if he hadn't wanted to go to Caesar. Anyway, so here we have Felix, you know, who you tell him stuff, and they believe it, and they get upset, and they tremble, but because Cornelius de Ville was there with him, or whatever it was, kept him from at a more convenient season. And we got Festus here, and we got who Festus knew things weren't wrong with him, and still took him to the king anyway, let the king get involved, because Festus couldn't deal with it, and the king hears all this stuff. And there's that skilled conversation from Paul amongst all this stuff, and controlled, not angry, not offensive, not slapping people around. He's He's doing it the way he preaches in Timothy, you know. And old Agrippa, because of Bernice there. You can't get this thing right with... I mean, here's Bernice and Felix and Corelli de Ville, Drusilda, and if I left out here, Festus, Felix, Agrippa, and the women there. And they're all just one big, happy, incestual family. It's wrong. So, Paul put it to them, but he did it to it in a non-offensive way. And they still don't let him go. And he's heading out to Caesar. And you'll find as you read here that he never does get to Caesar. So, interesting stuff though. And also remember that this is about the time when he was writing 2 Corinthians and Romans. And these prison times where he's in captivity here, he's writing Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, by the way, during this time right here. So, what a thing, huh? They let him free, but we got to take him on. And King Agrippa says, boy, you know, Paul, you almost had me there. It sounds so good, but Priscilla says, Bernice says, come on, King, we need to get home. We got the babysitter waiting. Oh, I had so many ladies pull guys away. Bob, remember those people? So many ladies, the guy would be asking questions and listening, and those ladies would just yank that guy out of there. As soon as he saw us, we were getting through, she'd get that guy out of there in a flash. Happens to this day. Acts 13, one of Paul's biggest enemies are devout, honorable and devout women. I think holy and devout. Holy and I don't know. Better look it up. Acts 13. And it's not an anti-woman thing, it's just that this whole grace thing is tough on them. Acts 13... devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city. They're all people that believe in the law. And we're talking to people today that still, they believe in grace, but they still believe in the law, so when they mess up with their walk and they go against the law, God still has to punish and chastise them. So it's the same comparison. We're talking to Jewish-taught people today. Same kind of a concept. So there's Festus, there's Agrippa, and there's Felix. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to do the next chapter. I'm just winging my thoughts here, but the next chapter is one of my favorite chapters. Paul going across, on a ship from Alexandria. That's a fantastic chapter there. I'll look at that and see if it's worth trying to fit our testimony into that thing, because remember, that's the bottom line here. Is our testimony supposed to match Paul's? No, not exactly, but there are some people that Paul meets that we meet as well. And it should make Acts a lot more interesting next time you read it just straight through, because it's not a confusing book, but it's not a doctrinal book either, because you got Jews all the way up to Acts 28. And after Acts 28, that's when Paul writes the three T's, Timothy, Titus, and Thessalonians. So, anyway, there you are. A little early tonight, I guess, but there you are.